Well, we're back at the film festival, and there's nothing better than when you have a surprise. And we do have a surprise for you right now. I've got Cheryl Strayed and her handsome husband, Brian Lindstrom. I'm sorry.
He's so handsome. I know. I can attest to that.
A face made for radio.
I'm Cheryl Strayed, and I'm so excited to be on KPTZ.
Right on. Oh, you did that so good. Well, we didn't know if we were going to be able to talk to you for a minute or not. I know you're really busy, but we feel lucky that you're here because I think this whole town loves you. And I know I've told everybody I've got a girl crush on you.
Well, then I'm the lucky one for sure.
Thank you so much for being here.
Guys, come
what?
On. Cool it down, you know.
We need a room.
Yeah. Okay, Charlie, what do you want to talk? What do you want to ask?
Hi, Charlie.
Okay. Hi, this is Charlie Burmant for KPTZ. Buzzy Donahue is right next to me. So I guess the easy softball question would be, what do you, we know you're going to be here tomorrow night talking about My Brilliant Career, but you also have your own movie here. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. Brian, why don't you tell us about our film?
I'd be delighted to. Well, first of all, I just want to say, you know, we have a kind of family history here in Port Townsend.
Yeah, I taught at the Port Townsend Writers Workshop a few years ago, and we made a documentary together called We Are Forbidden. It's an 8-minute film, a little shy of 8 minutes,
yep,
in Nepal last year.
And we had visited Nepal the year before, and we were privileged to meet an amazing group of teenage girls. And as we got to know them better, they told us about one of their main concerns in life was menstrual stigma. And so when we went back the following year, we knew we wanted to make a short film, and we decided to make a film on that topic.
And we really asked them to tell us their stories. We were not interested in being the Americans who go to Nepal and say, oh, what's wrong with your life? We really wanted to essentially provide a platform for their voices in our film. It's called We Are Forbidden because women and girls are forbidden from doing pretty much anything while they're menstruating. And it's really a sort of astounding fact. They can't eat most foods. They can't stay in their homes. They can't even gaze upon the faces of male family members without really being stigmatized. And it deeply affects their lives. It was a story that came from those girls. And so we went and asked them to tell us their stories. And that's how the film was born.
That sounds great. And when do you know when it's going to be shown this weekend?
It's going to be shown in about an hour.
Yeah, tonight at 6:15 at the Rose Theater, and then tomorrow afternoon as well at 3 p.m.
Well, I know that I'm going to put it on my list for sure.
Thank
you. It's so good to see. You've been such an inspiration to so many people with your books. And personally, I know this sounds a little, well, you've got a statue. I mean, how many people do you know have their own bronze statue?
Okay. Yeah. I'll admit that's so weird. I mean, who do you know that has a statue?
Well,
Buzzy?
I know.
I mean,
not only that, but it made me want one, which
I know.
Was weird.
Well, like, here's my thought. Every woman should have a statue.
Exactly.
You know, it's a funny thing. We have two kids. They're now 13 and 14, or 13 and 15, I'm sorry. And when my son was six, we were walking in downtown Portland, and he said to me out of the blue, "Why don't women become statues?" And I was so struck by that. And I had to explain to him, essentially, sexism. Well, the stories of women are often not told or honored. And so a couple of years ago, when I was asked by these two artists, Australian artists, Gilly and Mark, who came to me and said, "We want to make statues of women because there are so many male statues and so few female statues, and we're going to put them up in New York City. Can we do you?" And I was like, sure. But it didn't seem real. And then suddenly last month, these statues were unveiled, and I'm so honored.
It's a big deal, and I think it's wonderful. I mean, because you're right. We do need more statues of women. You hardly ever, well, we've got our beautiful girl over there at the fountain, but that's, you know.
Right.
It's rare to see them.
Okay, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, but I have a question, actually. You've seen the statue, Brian?
I have, yes.
Yeah, so how does it compare to the real thing?
Well, it's, of course, not as beautiful and charming and intelligent as Cheryl is. but what I love about the statue is that it captured her essence. You know, I mean, there's something really particular and kind of inspiring and remarkable about it.
Well, that's Cheryl in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. Come on, you guys. You're making me blush. We can't blush on radio because nobody can see it.
We can have a blush. No? Okay, so blush, everybody.
I know you have somewhere to be, but I just want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes to hang out with us. And
it's our pleasure.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys.
We love doing this. I love radio. It's my favorite, really, form of...
Me too.
Getting news and listening to culture, and we listen to podcasts. So thank you. It's our honor to be here on KPTZ.
Well, I just have a quick question for Cheryl.
Yes.
You know, everybody's writing memoirs these days. There are classes in them. You know, I have a couple in my drawer and everything. So who should write a memoir and who shouldn't?
Wow.
That's it.
So... Listen, everyone's story is worthy of literature. Everyone's life is worthy of literature. So my first thought is that everyone should write. I mean, I think that part of our really being a fully evolved person is about being able to tell your story as honestly and bravely as possible. And of course, the memoirs that merit publication or really our attention are those that don't just tell the story of the individual life, but the story of that's relevant to all of us. Like when people come to me and say that they loved Wilde, they're not really saying they're so interested in me. What they're saying is they saw themselves in me. And that's what I think the power of literature and in fact, the power of all art is that we tell the story of what it means to be human. Not what it means to be Charlie or Buzzy or Brian or Cheryl, but what does it mean to be human? That is the mission of literature. And that's certainly the mission of memoir.
Okay, but when I was reading Wilde, not so long ago, I got the feeling it was just, you were just talking to me and it was kind of, I imagined you just spilling out of your head. So obviously it didn't. So maybe take a minute. How did it go from, were you sitting out there in the middle of the wild writing longhand kind
of
stuff?
Well, have you ever seen a ballet where you're like, okay, they're just leaping and spread and stretching their legs out and landing with such grace. And it's all made to look like that, but that's not how it is. And that's writing too. You know, of course it didn't spill out of my head. Of course it took years of apprenticeship and years of me trying to figure out how to tell my story in a way that would be relevant to others, that would be in some ways answering that question about who are we instead of who am I. And so, yeah, many years of toil and hardship and anxiety and self-doubt and the sense of doom.
But I also just want to interject and say, you know, when I first met Cheryl, I had just found out she hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and I was just so like struck with that, like, oh my God, I have to know this woman who's done this amazing thing. And then when you know, she told me she was a writer, I was like, oh my God, you have to write about what you've just done. And she said, no, I'm not ready yet. I don't really have anything to say about it yet. And I really respect that Cheryl just kind of let it ruminate and kind of waited until she had the life experience and the wisdom to really know that story and tell it.
Well, and also the writing experience. My first book is a novel, Torch. Well, as
it's a
you
fantastic
know.
book.
But, you know, so I was really focused on writing that first novel, and it was only then that I turned my attention to thinking about, well, you know, should I write about this hike? Am I ready to do that yet? And then it was time. And so many things happened, of course, once I did. And I really wanted it to read like you read it, Charlie. Like, I wanted people to think like it seemed like I was just talking to you. I wrote it for you. If you feel like I read it for you, I did.
Well, you know, the first part of the book I read, it was in a writing class, and it was the heroine section. And it just completely freaked me out how open you were able to be. Like in my own writing efforts, I can't even come close to being that open.
And so you read Heroine. That was an essay. That was the first essay I've ever written.
Right. I read that, and then I read the book after that.
Right. So I wrote Heroine in the summer of 1997, and I wrote Wild many years later in like 2011. But that was the beginning for me of learning how to write very personally about my life. That was the boldest move I ever took as a writer, that first step where I thought, I'm just going to tell the truth about these two things, my mother's death and my experience with heroin.
Can I tell a little quick story about that essay? We were living in Portland, Oregon, and Cheryl had written this incredible essay and sent it into Double Take magazine.
Which no longer exists, a lot of magazines. It's a
fantastic magazine. I wish it did still exist. And anyway, she didn't hear back and didn't hear back and didn't hear back. And so, you know, being a young writer and, you know, very familiar with rejection, as all artists are, she just decided or thought, oh, well, you know, they must not have wanted it. And we had a discussion, and she decided to call Double Take just to make sure that they had received it, and she wanted to know what happened. So she called them up, and they were like, oh my God, we have been trying to track you down for like the last 7 months. Because they had somehow lost the envelope and didn't have the return address.
Yeah, they didn't have my address. It was a pre-internet story, really.
Yes.
You know,
right.
But
right. And the rule as a freelance writer is you don't call for follow-up because you're annoying them.
Well, it
right.
was that they called me. Right. They called me. You're forgetting. And I was like, why is this magazine calling me? Because they had somehow remembered my name but didn't have my address. Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting the hook here. Should we just leave Cheryl and Buzzy alone for a second here? Or what?
Buzzy, thank you so much for having us on the show.
Charlie, that was such a good question, too. I'm happy that you...
Wait, I asked three questions. So what?
Oh, okay.
did you get your quota of questions in? Did he ask more than you?
No, it had nothing to do with that. But that was a good question because Charlie is a writer.
Right.
And he wants somebody to come along and say, this is good or this is bad. And I haven't said anything to him about it. But I don't really think it works that way. I think you just have to keep doing it and you'll know when you're ready to be good. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. And honestly, if you're sitting at home thinking, wow, this is just amazing, this thing I wrote, I can guarantee you it's terrible.
Okay. And before you go, I have a 500-page manuscript.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just waiting for people to hand me their manuscripts.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. It was so fun being on with you.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
And great to be here at the Port Townsend Film Fest.